At Vast National Bank, we value our billions of customers. Whether you're in Dubai or Tokyo or just London, we care. So bank big with us. Sure, your local community bank may seem friendly and helpful. Their small business loans may even help your town grow and prosper or whatever. But would they help you liquidate an offshore account to bedazzle your private jet? No.
Bank with a community bank and help your community grow. Find yours at banklocally.org.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Welcome to the program. So happy to be back with you. And want to thank our good friends Jeff Stein and Steve Gill for filling in as I was out on the road. Wow, what a great event in North Carolina. And want to thank our good friends at the North Carolina Faith and Freedom Coalition. Had about 450, 500 people show up for this big event. The Lieutenant Governor was there, our good friend Mark Robinson, and had a chance to meet so many of our great listeners across the area. As a matter of fact, we had listeners coming as far away as Baltimore, WCBM, our great affiliate there, and I had a chance to visit with many of you and stayed till the last person was there, and it was just a lot of fun. So thank you, and I am just really impressed. I continue to be impressed by the great numbers of folks around this country that are tuning into the show, and we welcome all of you, and we need your help because we're a grassroots organization. We don't have a big corporation behind us, and so we really rely on you helping us spread the word and telling people to tune in. Wow, do we have a lot to talk about today, and as you and I are speaking, the big presidential forum is underway in Iowa. Now, President Trump is not a part of this, and these are basically one-on-one conversations, so there's no debate. All of the candidates are not on the stage together. And so far, Tucker's doing a great job. Tucker Carlson is moderating, and he interviewed Asa Hutchinson just a little while ago, and also Senator Tim Scott, and we're going to play some of that audio. Now, I just want to say something about the Secret Service before we get into the big stories of the day. And I will say this: they know who the cocaine belongs to. But I'm telling you, it is a mess in that White House. Now, a few weeks ago, when we first learned about the cocaine story, remember what I told you? And nobody else was talking about this, but I posited at the time that this was an intentional leak, that there had probably been other instances of drug usage or finding drugs in the White House. And they kept it under wraps because they didn't want that leaking out. But they wanted this story to leak out. And who is the they? Well, the they is the deep state. And the deep state is controlled by Barack Obama, who lives in Washington, D.C., the only American president not to leave the nation's capital after his term in office was over. And why is that? Because Obama's term in office is not over. He's calling the shots right now at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's what's going on here. And we know that Biden has been told behind the scenes that his days are done, to go ahead, pack it up, and head to the old folks' home. But Biden doesn't want to do that. But more importantly, Mrs. Dr. First Lady Jill Biden doesn't want to do that. And she would rather have her husband fall down the stairs of Air Force One and break his neck than have him retire to Delaware. She loves being First Lady. And she loves all the trappings of being First Lady. But I'm telling you, folks, they're doing stuff in the White House that would make people down at the trailer park blush. Never seen anything like it. So yesterday, as the Secret Service was announcing that, we looked at the cameras, we looked at the evidence, we talked to folks, We don't know whose cocaine that is. We have no earthly idea. And we know that's a lie. And I wish they would have come up with some better explanation, because there was not even any effort put into the lie. I mean, it's really sort of sad. They could have concocted some other story, but they didn't. And I think even the Secret Service knows that the jig is up, and there's really no way to cover this up. All right? There's just no way. They know where that cocaine came from. This is the most secure building in America. But let's step back for just a moment, and let's assume they really don't know. They don't have a clue how that got in there. Now, when this story first broke, it was somewhat alarming, because the word was that the White House was being evacuated after a powdery substance had been discovered. They didn't think that was cocaine, ladies and gentlemen. They thought it was an anthrax attack. And my sources in Washington say people were very, very concerned about all of this. They evacuated the White House. They evacuated the old executive office building. They evacuated a very large swath surrounding the White House complex. They really did think they were under a terrorist attack. And, of course, it turned out to be blow. So the issue now is, how secure is the White House? Because the Secret Service is telling us that it's not secure. The Secret Service is telling us that you can just walk right into the White House, and if you're a drug dealer, you'll be able to make your drop right there. Nobody's going to stop you. You're able to walk right in. Have fun. Do what you want to do. At least that's what the Secret Service is telling us. But anyway, that's all conjecture. Because ultimately, I suspect that the cocaine was planted. The cocaine was not Hunter Biden's. And the cocaine, by the way, it was a minuscule amount. So Obama could have gotten that from his own private stash or some other place. I don't know. But the cocaine was planted. That's my theory. And it was planted to push Joe Biden out of the White House race. That's what this is really all about. So as I mentioned, weeks ago when this story first came to light, I said, don't be surprised here if we find out that this is not the first time, but they covered it up. And sure enough, yesterday, what did we learn? That at least two other times since Joe Biden took office, they have found marijuana in the White House, ladies and gentlemen. Marijuana for the smoking of doobies. The devil's lettuce in the White House. So there you go. Folks, it's going to get ugly. There is a report out that Biden, behind the scenes, is talking to top Democrats, and that he is not going to be running in 2024. Now, what I find interesting about this story is you're not hearing this from Joe Biden. You're hearing this from top Democrats. And these top Democrats, by the way, are coming out and they're saying, yeah, this is what Joe Biden is telling us. But I don't think Biden's telling anybody anything. Joe Biden can't even form a cohesive sentence. This story from ToddStarnes.com. Top Democrats are reportedly seeking a replacement for Joe Biden in 2024, telling them he is not running for re-election. CNN also reporting a slow pace of Biden's re-election campaign feeds Democrats' 2024 anxiety. And it details how the president's own party, the Democrats, are in a tailspin right now. They're in disarray, even though Biden has already officially entered the race. Now, keep in mind, you've got all the Republicans, except for a few of them, in Iowa right now holding debates. They're all out on the campaign trail. And what is Joe Biden doing? He's taking naps and he's nibbling babies. We'll get to that story in just a little while. According to recent polls, 70% of Americans believe Biden should not run for re-election. So the question is, if not Biden, who? That is the million-dollar question. If not Biden, who? Now, Gavin Newsom is out there, and everybody believes that Newsom is a viable Democrat replacement. But I'm not so sure about that. And the reason why is very simple. Gavin Newsom is a rich white guy. And I'm not sure you're going to have the progressives, the AOC wing of the party. I'm not too sure they're going to go with a white guy. I mean, Gavin Newsom's a handsome white guy, but he's a white guy. And he's got a lot of money. He's loaded. He really is. And I don't think they're going to allow that to happen. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but I see the stage being set for a radicalized Democrat ticket in 2024. And I'm talking about one that the kingmakers here are Barack Obama and AOC and that bunch. So is it possible that Barack Obama is setting the stage for his wife to step up and be the first female president of these great United States? Because that's what it's certainly smelling like at this point. We're going to be taking your calls on this. It is Open Line Friday, and that means we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about this, folks? Do you think Biden's on the way out here? And who do you think the Democrats are going to pick to be their person in 2024? We're going to be playing some audio throughout the day of these panel discussions or this forum in the state of Iowa being hosted by Tucker Carlson. Coming up a little bit later, Congressman Andy Biggs is going to drop by to talk about an explosive FBI hearing. Also, we've got some breaking news concerning the military funding package, and it is great news for conservatives. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is Open Line Friday on the Todd Stern Show.
If you are looking for MyPillow, you will not find it in the big box stores. And the reason why? It's pretty awful. MyPillow's been canceled by the cancel culture mob. And that's why Mike Lindell wants to sell directly to you. And that comes with some great savings. You're going to be able to get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard pillow. Normally $69.98, now only $19.98 with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow does more than just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to slippers, even doggy beds and human beds. Go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes. And use the promo code Starnes or call 800-544-8939. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes or call 1-800-544-8939. Use the promo code Starnes.
Have to brag on the good people of the Mount Airy, North Carolina Wesleyan Church. Good people there. They fed us well, got us fed and watered, and got us on our way. I did notice one observation as I had to connect through Atlanta, where there were, I don't know, maybe 78 million people trying to board flights. Have you noticed, and maybe it's just me, but it seems as though when people are getting on board an airplane, that they are dressed just like they would dress if they were going shopping at Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning. Anybody else notice that, or maybe that's just me? Anyway, a lot going on. We're going to get to some audio here, but I want to go to Joe in North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC, has a thought about the Democrat ticket. Hey, Joe, what you got for us?
How you doing, my brother from a different mother?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Joe.
Hey, listen, now I'm not saying that there might not be a couple more enter into the race, but the one person that the Democratic Party is going to push is going to be Michelle Obama.
Well, careful now. Careful. You know, you get nervous. No, look, you're talking to millions of people and get a little bit nervous. So you might actually misspeak. So it's Michelle Obama. So, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. So, so say that one more time. Who do you think the ticket's going to be?
Well, now, like I said, they're probably going to be a few others that might jump in there, but the one that the Democratic Party is going to push is Michelle Obama.
Yeah, I think so.
And you can pretty much take that to the bank.
And it could be that actually happens at the convention, and it comes from the floor, just a groundswell of support. And follow the thinking here. Follow the logic. Gavin Newsom is going to jump into the race, and he will try. But I think you're going to have so many people outraged at the idea of, again, a white guy, a rich white guy on the ticket, that there's going to be blowback, and you could have the progressives in the party say, we're not going to let that happen.
Well, no matter who they put out there, the bottom line is they're going to have a...
I think you're right there, Joe. All right, appreciate that call. 844-747-8868 on this open line Friday. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, have you heard this crazy story? There was a lawmaker and got himself in a little bit of hot water. And the question is, well, why did he get himself in some hot water? Well, it turns out that he was speaking from the floor of the House of Representatives, and he inadvertently mentioned the word colored people. Now, this has caused great chaos. I mean, great chaos. The lawmaker, by the way, he later apologized, and he didn't mean to say colored people. He wanted to say people of color. But anyway, a lot of people got upset about all of this. Let's see how this played out on the floor of the House, Cut 7.
Arizona.
Well, Mr. Chairman, though that was unbelievably inspiring, my amendment has nothing to do with whether or not colored people or black people or anybody can serve, okay? It has nothing to do with color,
Mr. Speaker.
Your skin, any of that stuff. What we want to preserve and maintain is the fact that our military does not become a social experiment. We want the best of the best. We want to have standards that guide who's in what unit, what they do. And I'm going to tell you guys right now, the Russians, the Chinese, the Iranians, the North Koreans, they are not doing this because they want the strongest military possible.
Gentlemen,
I hope my colleagues on the other side can understand what we're doing. Thank you so much.
Mr. Spann. Asking to be recognized to have the words colored people.
For what purposes, gentlelady, seek recognition?
I'd like to be recognized to have the words colored people stricken from the record. I find it offensive and very inappropriate.
Very inappropriate.
Is the gentlelady asking for unanimous consent to take down the words?
I am asking for unanimous consent to take down the words of referring to me or any of my colleagues as colored people.
How
for what
dare
purpose
you?
Is the gentleman from Arizona?
Can I amend my comments to people of color?
The gentleman wishes to amend his comments.
Is the gentleman asking?
I'm asking consent.
Mr. Speaker, to have the word stricken. I didn't ask for an amendment.
Is there unanimous consent to have the word stricken?
Yes. Without objection, so ordered.
Without objection, so ordered.
How dare that honky call us colored people? Who does he think he is? Get that cracker out of here. By the way, that was Representative Eli Crane from Arizona with the verbal cafe, if you will. Congresswoman Joyce Beatty was the offended party. There. Good for you, madam. You should be offended. So anyway, here's the deal. The Congressional Black Caucus is, I'm sorry, my apologies. That's the singular. The Congressional Black Caucus, they are very offended, as well they should be, that someone dared to refer to them as colored people. So we on the Todd Starnes radio program, We believe in reaching out to everyone, and we felt like someone, and we had actually wanted somebody to come on the program and really ream out Congressman Eli Crane, because it's just unacceptable to use this sort of language, right? So we reached out to the NAACP, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, to get a comment on whether or not it was offensive to use the phrase colored people. And we will get back to you when they get back to us. I don't think they're going to get back to us. So look, our good friend Silk from the beautiful duo of Diamond and Silk weighed in on this. We're going to play her response, but I am just curious here. Are you black Americans, are you offended that this congressman used the term colored people? Because now the Congressional Black Caucus, their argument is, stop it. That is racist. You can't call people colored people. You have to call them people of color. Well, isn't that what? I'm confused. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. I wonder if their playlist includes music that includes another word that's inappropriate. Just wondering.
Rule number one of staying alive in the shed. He always wins.
What is it like to be in the orbit of a serial killer? In The Quiet Tenant, novelist Clémence Michelon tells the story of a serial killer from the perspectives of the women in his life. His daughter, his girlfriend, and the woman he has been keeping in his shed for years. You will be holding your breath until the last page. Read The Quiet Tenant, available in hardcover, ebook, and audiobook now.
Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. You can talk about whatever you would like to talk about today. I want to go back to this audio from our good friend Silk, and, of course, her dear, sweet, departed sister, Diamond. Silk is weighing in on this outrage from the Congressional Black Caucus, and they're wanting this congressman's head on a platter because he used the phrase colored people instead of people of color. And the Congressional Black Caucus says that colored people is racist, but you're supposed to say people of color. So I guess it's the E and the D that's actually the racist part, if I'm following this correctly. Otherwise, it's just sheer hypocrisy or just lunacy. And my argument is that I suspect many of the people on that Congressional Black Caucus are listening to music that includes a very inappropriate racist term. But that's okay, according to them. So anyway, Silk lays all of this out in what is really an epic defense of the congressman from Arizona. Cut number six.
And now before I came on, I saw where the words... color people was trending. And let me just say this before I bring on my first guest. I said it's amazing how the same black people that's offended by the words color people call me a white supremacist. Mm-hmm. The same group of people that's offended by the words color people want to call me a they or a them. Don't want to refer to me as a woman. But they get so offended when somebody calls them color people. Well, they are people of color, aren't they? See, what has happened is they have allocated so many different words and labels for black folks that a lot of folks don't know what to call you. Don't even know what to call black people no more. Mm-mm. So if they say something, oh, I'm offended. Oh, that's racist to call somebody color people. That's a racist term. Well, what about calling me a white supremacist? Isn't that a racist term? What about calling me a coon? Isn't that a racist term? What about calling me an Uncle Tom? Isn't that a racist term? But you black folks do it. You don't have a problem with doing it. But somebody white call you color people, then all of a sudden you want to get so bent out of shape. You call each other the N-word on a daily doggone basis.
Hello.
But when a white person say color people, oh my God, he's racist. Well, you're being racist to your own race, black folk, and you know who you are. You know exactly who you are. If you stop making up all these different terminologies for black people, okay, stop making up all this terminology for black folks so people will know that we are black Americans. How about we just all be Americans and then we ain't got to worry about what word we need to call each other or what word gonna hurt your feeling and what word ain't gonna hurt your feeling. How about that? But it's a doggone shame that the same black folk right up there in Congress will call me a white supremacist and then think I'm supposed to be all right with that. So sick.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Silk, for putting this all in perspective. And again, we will let you know when the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People gets back to us on whether or not the term colored people is in fact racist. So, Dylan, just let me know when the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People gets back to us, otherwise known as the NAACP. You know, a lot of people didn't realize what the C or the P stood for. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Our good buddy, Congressman Rosendale, Matt Rosendale from Montana, they are laying down the law in the House of Representatives. Now, the NDAA is the National Defense Authorization Act. And that's how the military gets its funding. This is a do-or-die piece of legislation. If it doesn't pass, the military has no money. So that's how important this is. But the military has asked for millions and millions of tax dollars so they can fund drag shows and they can provide gender mutilation surgeries, all at the expense of the taxpayers. And Congressman Rosendale just did a terrific job laying all of this out and the dangers of having transgender people in the military. Cut number four.
Our military, it is not making it stronger. We have drag shows taking place at Malmstrom Air Force Base. There are 150 ICBM missiles that are being controlled by that Air Force base and by these individuals. I don't want someone who doesn't know if they are a man or a woman with their hand on a missile button.
Look, and this was not some sort of hyperbole, and he's not transphobic. But the reality here is this. If you are transgender, you are dealing with mental issues. There's something called gender dysphoria. This is an illness. And if you have this illness, do we really want those kinds of people with their hands on the button? And that was the question, and it is a legitimate question that Congressman Rosendale is asking. Cut number five.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Today I rise in support of my Amendment 194. 194 is a very simple piece of legislation, amendment. It would prohibit TRICARE from covering sex reassignment surgeries and hormone treatment for transgender individuals. The most recent numbers tell us that the Department of Defense has performed over 240 gender reassignment surgeries, costing taxpayers approximately $3.1 million. Unfortunately, that's just a small part of the cost associated with this transaction. The department has also spent over $11.5 million on psychotherapy. That's it, psychotherapy for service members with gender dysphoria. The amount of funds paid out for this psychotherapy shows that the surgery alone cannot solve the root issue for these individuals. This does nothing to help our troops continue to be the most effective fighting force on earth and is nothing but a distraction and a waste of valuable taxpayers' dollars. The government has no business funding these procedures on the taxpayers' dime. The question that must be asked is whether we're having trans individuals makes the United States a more lethal force and whether it helps recruit the best and most effective talent for the United States military. And the answer to that is a clear and resounding no. A report commissioned by General Mattis found that service members with claims of gender dysphoria are 8 times more likely to attempt suicide than other service members. It also found that these individuals are 9 times more likely to have negative mental health episodes than other service members. As Thomas Spohr, a former Army Lieutenant General, put it, if those with gender dysphoria are at a much higher risk of suicide, crippling anxiety, or mental breakdowns than their peers, those serving next to them will be reluctant to rely on them. Permitting them to serve also violates the principle of not placing individuals at greater risk of injury in harm's way. Madam Speaker, to summarize this, Anything that does not contribute to making our fighting force the most effective fighting force on earth is nothing more than a distraction. And I will not ask the people of Montana or the United States to pay for it.
Thank you, Congressman Rosendale. I mean, he really pretty much, he lays it out. The entire purpose of the United States military is to kill the enemy and blow things up. That's what we want our military to do. I don't care. I don't care about the drag shows. I don't care about the transgender surgeries. You want to do that? You do that on your own time, but not in the military. We don't need men dressing up as women being the spokespeople for the United States military. That's not what the military is there for. And we better put the fear of God in our enemies. And that's not putting the fear of God in our enemies when you've got a bunch of Navy sailors dressed up like women wearing feather boas. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 844-747-8868. Rich is listening to us in Western Tennessee on 93.1, that's Super Talk Tennessee. Hi, Rich, what's on your mind today?
Thank you, sir, and thank you, the other man there that answered. All I can do is agree with everything. I'll be real quick. The lady that you had speaking about NAACP, when she finished every other sentence with I went, oh no, this is enough. And then I heard the whole thing. I went, home run. The whole thing, military, there's nothing I could add. It's just so commonsensical. And one thing about the dime bag, there may not have been fingerprints on it. It wouldn't matter because it's a small bag and anybody can touch something without fingerprints. You know, when I was a young boy from Tennessee and had a thicker voice than I have now, I found myself in New York City. No, not at Rolling Stone, at National Review. And that was the first time I was so out of place, having a little lunch with Mr. Buckley and his staff and a glass of wine. And when he got to me, is there anything you would like to say or add, Mr. Forgan? I couldn't talk. I went, no, sir. And but the conservatives are accepting people. The Democrats are the saddest bunch. And it's something as so basic as human nature. When you walk around sad all your life, typically, if you have a voice in politics, you must blame someone. The Bidens are the end of Clinton's. Oh, see how I'm getting mad? I'm going to let you go. But I want to tell you, Mr. Obama, you are the lowest scum that ever held office besides Clinton, Biden. Y'all are all people should be facing Nuremberg trials. Hopefully.
Rich, let me jump in here. Let me jump in here because I know you're getting fired up. Look, they have done horrible things, and history will judge them. History will judge what they have done to our nation. But understand this, what Barack Obama set out to do has not been completed just yet. And that's why I truly believe that Michelle Obama is destined for the White House. Because they want to complete the fundamental transformation of America. That was the whole point of Obama getting elected. This was the work of radicals in the deep state who want to turn our nation into a socialist utopia. That's what this is all about. Rich, God bless you. Give us a call back, and thank you for listening to us on Super Talk Tennessee. Let's go to Eileen in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Eileen. What's going on today?
Hi, Todd. I wanted to weigh in on, if I could, on two things. But first, the colored people, they might have to cancel Stevie Wonder because he had a song, Living in, for the City. And in that song, he uses that term. Also, maybe the NAACP should be called NACOP now. I wanted to say that, Todd, NACOP. Why can't transgenders be in the military? I mean, you know, once the enemy sees them with their pink high heels and their feather boas, they'll just laugh themselves and we'll be able to take them right over.
So
you're
saying we should put them out front, sort of to terrify the enemy.
Exactly. Well, either that or make them laugh hysterically. Maybe they'll just give up.
We could call it the Stiletto Brigade.
That's it.
And instead of guns, we could just have them with their feather boas and their sparkly outfits and their arms outstretched. Come here, boys. Come here.
And they could scratch them with their long pink nails.
Turn away and run the other way. Run away. Run away. Exactly. All right, Eileen.
You have a great weekend.
All right. You too. Thanks a lot, Eileen. All right. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. It is open line Friday, so you can talk about whatever the whatever we're talking about, or if you have something else you want to weigh in on, we're happy to take your calls. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
If you served in the Vietnam War, Gulf War, or post-9/11 eras, you and your family may be eligible for expanded VA benefits. File by August 9th to maximize your benefits. Apply for free. Visit va.gov/PACT.
All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. Thanks for joining us today on this Friday edition of the show. Now, a couple of big stories we're following. In the next hour, we're going to start playing some audio from these interviews Tucker Carlson is doing in Iowa with some of the candidates. And by the way, Tucker got huge applause when he said he had never gotten the China virus jab. So there you go. Good for you. Good for you, Tucker Carlson. We are also going to play some audio from Jim Jordan and this incredible, incredible back and forth between him and the FBI director, Christopher Wray, exposing the FBI for what they are doing to conservatives, to Catholics, to pro-lifers. It's really just appalling. Now, I want to play some audio. Several years back, there was a show on HBO called Veep, and someone pointed out that the make-believe vice president, female vice president, and this is the make-believe first female vice president, sounds very much like the current real first female vice president. Cut 10.
Americans, words have many meanings, and sometimes instead of conveying our meaning, they can suggest other meanings.
When we talk about the children of the community, they are a children of the community.
Well, we are the United States of America because we are united. And we are states.
Talking about the significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time.
Whatever we have in store cannot be known. The past was once the future. The future is, I should say, unknown.
We got to take this stuff seriously as you are, because you have been forced to have to take it seriously.
Obesity is a serious disease, and it needs to be taken seriously.
You need to get to go, and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home.
I hope that clarifies the issue, and this can be the last word on those words.
Certain issues are just settled.
Clearly we're not.
No, that's right, and that's why I do believe that we are living, sadly, in real unsettled times.
The woman's a dingbat. A dingbat. And the word is around Washington, she may not even be around to be on the ticket. There's a good chance that the Biden could just up and replace her. But good luck getting whoever the replacement is going to be through the U.S. Senate, unless it's Michelle Obama. I'm telling you, folks, do not discount Michelle Obama. Now, we understand Team Trump is ready to go no matter who the Democrats nominate. Whether it's Hillary, whether it's Michelle, it doesn't matter. Team Trump says they're ready to rock and roll. And I'm telling you, if it's Michelle or Hillary, you're going to want a Donald Trump on the top of that ticket. All right, we've got to scoot out for just a second. Hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. Open Line Friday. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
There's very strange video that we have posted on our Instagram. Hello, everybody. Todd Starnes here. Welcome to hour two of the big show. Now, if you are eating a pimento cheese sandwich right now, I would urge you to take a break and go and let it digest, and then go to our Instagram, and you'll be able to see the video for yourself. But this one is a doozy. So the video features President Biden, and he is nibbling at the back of a young baby. Maybe I would say. Maybe a year and a half, 2 years old. And the little baby is looking at the president as he nibbles the back. And it's almost like, that's what he's doing. Very odd behavior. And then he moves in. You know, the president's bending down. And I'll try to describe this as best I can. It looks like the child is being held by its mother. And the mother, this is all happening over in Finland. And so Biden leans in, and the child has its back to the president, and the president leans in, and he does the sniff, and you can see the sniff. He goes, and then he goes, and he's like doing that with his tongue to the baby's back. It's on our Instagram, Todd Starnes FNC. And then he goes in for the kiss. And the child turns away in disgust, as well the child should have done. It's the craziest, weirdest, creepiest thing I have seen today. With this guy, it's, anything goes. So there you go. That's what the president of the United States was doing in Finland. assaulting Finnish children. I don't know. Does it reach that level? I don't know. I am not a law enforcement officer. I only, whatever I know, I've learned from Law and Order Special Victims Unit. That's it. All right. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. It's there. I gotta stop watching this. Holy smokes. All right. I will say Tucker Carlson is doing a great job right now. He is interrogating all of these Republican wannabes. And this is brilliant because what he's doing is Tucker, and he may or may not be aware he's doing this, but Tucker is actually showing us who we don't need as a vice presidential running mate to Donald Trump. So a couple of things have happened, and one of them involves Ukraine, and Tucker is pressing all of these candidates on why we are involved in Ukraine. And by the way, some breaking news last night. The Biden administration announced they are calling up 3,000 military reserve troops, and those troops are going to Europe, presumably to Ukraine. And in all seriousness, we are on the verge of World War III. We are on the verge of getting into a shooting war with the Russians. That's where all of this is going. And I don't think there's anybody on either side of the party willing to stop this from happening, except for Donald Trump. Donald Trump understands where all of this is heading, and that's why he's trying to stop this. Because Biden is going to say something or do something that's going to cause a reaction from the Chinese. And we all know that it's going to be very, very bad. So anyway, Tucker is asking some legitimate questions of these candidates, including Tim Scott of South Carolina, who turns out to be a hawk. Tim Scott is a supporter of Biden's plan in Ukraine, Cut 16.
Where are you on the matter of sending cluster bombs to the Ukrainian military?
Well, if I was president of the United States, we wouldn't have to. Here's what you saw.
But now that we have, what do you think of it?
Well, I mean, I think they're there. So here's what I would suggest is...
Well, they're not. I don't think they're there yet. Do you think that we should send them?
I think that the mistake is when you have President Biden saying to the world that here are a host of weapons that we no longer have the ammunition to supply. And you have a request coming from Ukraine saying we need more of the weapons that you say you don't have to provide. As opposed to keeping top secret information in your closet, you go to the front pages of every news station, you go to the screens, and President Biden says to the world, we don't have the ammunition. And so what you see from Ukraine is they say send the cluster bombs over. Under my administration, we would have the resources in a defense industrial complex that provides the weapons that we need and our Western allies need. We wouldn't be in this position at all.
Do you think he should send them?
I wouldn't have to. He already has agreed to do so.
No, that's not the question. Okay, so when they do that, that means they support it. And that's the whole point of that. So Tim Scott supports sending cluster bombs to Ukraine. And kudos to Tucker Carlson for pressing him on this issue. He went in and asked about Mexico, cut 17.
Well, so here's, I'm just interested because all measures are relative. So Russia's bad, Russia's a threat, Putin's evil, got it. But the total body count from Russia in the United States is right around zero. Like, I don't know anyone who's been killed by Russia. I know people personally who've been killed by Mexico. The government of Mexico allows fentanyl to be made in its country and to come over our border.
Yes.
And remittances from Mexico are a huge part of their economy. The Mexican government is party to the murder of hundreds of thousands of Americans. So why is Mexico less of a threat than Russia?
Well, two things. I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Okay, but...
Yeah, and frankly, here's...
No Americans killed by Russia, yeah. Hundreds of thousands killed by Mexico, but Mexico's our ally and Russia's our enemy. How does that work?
Well, I'm not going to pretend like the legislation I have sponsored and I would sign as President of the United States freezes the assets of the Mexican cartels, targets the Mexican cartels, and hopefully eliminates the flow of fentanyl. Because I do agree with you that 70,000 Americans losing their lives on an annual basis is an existential threat to America that we can solve. We don't have to choose the good news.
Would you be willing to say to the Mexican government, your economy runs on factories right over the border, car plants, for example, but many other manufacturing plants, and we're just going to slap tariffs on that and tank your economy, like tomorrow? Unless you stop allowing poison to come into our country. Like, why not do that?
I say, we use every tool available to stop fentanyl from coming across our border. No exceptions.
Interesting.
All right. So what you're getting is a bunch of political speak, right? Because Tucker has a good point here. Why are we not at war with Mexico? Better yet, why do we have to go to war with the cartel, against the cartels? Why is that our responsibility? That's Mexico's. It's their country. It's their government. They're the ones that are allowing this to happen. So why are we not punishing Mexico? Why are we not defending our own border when we're spending billions and billions of dollars to protect Ukraine's border? And now Joe Biden is sending more American troops on the ground. Folks, it is a very dangerous, dangerous game. Now, Asa Hutchinson is there. You say, who is that guy? He was the governor of Arkansas. The guy is, I don't know, he's about a slice of tofu shy of being a Democrat. Here's what he had to say.
In face. And I believe in a limited role of government. And so, you know, if I don't think that California ought to be able to tell parents, you need to have gender-affirming care for the children. The government should not do that. And in the same way, let's keep the government out of it unless it's that extreme case, and let's let parents guide the children. I stand with parents.
So, and amen for standing with parents, and I think everyone in the room would agree with that. But the reason I asked the question was not to bring up a sore subject, which I know that it is, but to ask if in the subsequent 2 years, you had said that you drew the line at castration of physical altercation of a child's body because it's permanent. But in the subsequent 2 years, I think we've learned that hormone therapy for prepubescent children is permanent. It changes the bone structure. It changes the brain of the child. A lot of people believe, including me, that it destroys the child's life. But it is permanent. It's not reversible. So given that and the standard you just articulated, do you have different feelings? I mean, this is a permanent change we are making to a child. Why would we allow that if we don't allow surgery?
Well, permanent change is one issue, but also hormonal treatment is a different issue and can be a different issue. And whenever you look at the bill that I vetoed, there was not any grandfather clause in there. Again, I respect legislators that have a different view, but I think independently, I think of the parents, I think of the Constitution, and actually the court, if you read the decision of the federal judge that struck it down as unconstitutional, really sided with parents as well.
But how is it treatment? I guess that's my question. If you have a child who says, who's born a boy, I want to become a girl, he hasn't gone through puberty yet, he's, say, 10. Is it treatment to prevent him from going through the natural process of adolescence? How is that treatment? It seems not like treatment. It seems like something else.
Well, you have to, Tucker, I hope that we'll be able to talk about some issues. I know that...
Well, this is one of the biggest issues in the country, and I think every person in this room would agree that it is a central issue, because these are children who are being altered permanently, and you can defend that alteration, that change, if you like, but there's really no debate about whether or not it's permanent. And so I think it's fair to ask you in a calm, rational, and I very much hope polite way, why you would support that.
It's a great question. But again, it exposes Asa Hutchins for what he is. He doesn't think this transgender issue is even an issue we ought to be talking about. So we are monitoring all of these conversations, and as they come down the pike, and we get the audio, we'll bring that to you. But I'm telling you right now, folks, I'm not seeing anybody presidential in that bunch. Not at all. Can't wait to hear from Ron DeSantis a little bit later on. All right. By the way, Rupert Murdoch now on board saying that he doesn't believe DeSantis is going to be able to cut it. And Murdoch has been horrified by DeSantis's performance out there on the campaign trail. And he's especially concerned about the polling. So what's going to happen? Well, Fox is in this for the money. And hear me on this. This is not about ideology with Fox. This is all about what makes them money. So you watch what's going to happen here. There is going to be a shift back to Trump. And when that happens, do not buy into what Fox is selling. If you've made the switch to Newsmax, just keep your TV set on Newsmax, because Fox is just in this for the money. That's all that is. All right, look, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go to your phone calls. Open Line Friday, whatever you want to talk about, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy, and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders, the skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines to education in Kosovo. We learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Wow, someone just sent me a horrible story. This guy writes in, my wife and I were carjacked at gunpoint yesterday. This happened in Memphis. The guy says we were exiting I-40 when the car ahead stopped rather than continuing straight. Without warning, another car rear-ended us. When we got out of the car to investigate, to see if anyone was hurt, two armed men accosted us. One man demanded my car keys. At the same time, a second man threatened my wife. The assailant sped away in our black 2018 Jeep Grand Cherokee Trackhawk. My car is a limited edition, and so he's providing all the information, the details. And he said, thanks be to God that we were not physically injured or killed. God is good all the time. He says, if you are struck as we were, stay in your vehicle, look around you, and drive to the nearest police station and or call the police. And that's good advice. By the way, yesterday, a 12-year-old was arrested in Memphis for carjacking a woman. And they did the same thing. They rear-ended the driver. She stops. And the 12-year-old, and he had three teenage accomplices, 16 and 15 years old. The 12-year-old has a gun. And the next thing you know, the poor lady motorist is staring down the barrel of a firearm. And that's how these thugs are operating. Over 8,000 cars have been stolen or carjacked so far this year in Memphis, Tennessee. It is a literal war zone out here. And one of these days, what's going to happen is they're going to carjack the wrong person and you're going to have a bunch of dead carjackers because people are getting tired of this. And I'm telling you, folks, you just think about this. These kids, these 12-year-olds, they're not being taught right from wrong. Their mommies and daddies are raising these children to behave like animals. They're not teaching them morals. With a 25 or 30-year-old, they probably just want to steal your car so they can get the cash and get the heck out of there. So I think there's a better chance of you surviving a carjacking by a 25 to 30-year-old as opposed to a 12-year-old who doesn't really value life and would just as soon see you shot in the head just to see what it looks like. This is what we have to deal with in Memphis, Tennessee every single day. Every single day. Because we are controlled. We are ruled by god-awful pro-criminal Democrats and Republicans. I'll get to that a little bit later on. Let's go to the phones here, as promised, 844-747-8868. I want to start in North Carolina. William, listening to us on WSIC. Hi, William. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. Good Friday to you. Hope you have a good weekend.
Likewise.
First of all, if I want to put out thoughts and prayers to that hand doctor out there in Memphis, Tennessee. It was killed earlier this week. My family's and their families in my thoughts. I just wanted to talk about Joe Biden a little bit. If he were to be impeached or somehow or another got out of office before his term was over with, who would become the president or acting? Would it be the Speaker of the House or would it be Kamala Harris?
No, it would be Kamala Harris. So if the president leaves office, the vice president becomes president, and then she has to select a running mate or a vice president, and then Congress has to approve of that individual. That's what happened with Jerry Ford when Richard Nixon stepped down.
And then we got an election next year. So would that continue on?
Oh, yes.
And they would just run whoever the primary candidate would be, would run against Kamala Harris.
Or if she wanted to run. Yeah, that's exactly how that would work.
Yeah, I just didn't know. And I mean, you know, they're kind of like NASCAR up there, Todd. They just make the rules up as they go along here. I didn't know if that was going to be the case or what. Just, you know, hypothetically, he was just thinking, I don't know if Joe's going to last another year or not.
Well, they're not going to look. I will say this. I think they're more concerned about Kamala Harris stepping into that role. So they're going to do a couple of things. Either she will be removed from office and replaced, or they're going to just keep Joe there so long as he promises not to run for reelection. So but they're not going to allow Kamala Harris to become the first female president of color. That's not going to happen. I don't think Obama would allow that to happen. William, we've got to run. I appreciate that call, and thank you for offering those prayers. Yeah, that doctor in Memphis, very well known, shot dead by a Memphis thug in an examination room. I'm telling you, it's a war zone. All right, we'll be right back, folks. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company. Like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather
peanut gallery.
Long time no see.
No can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, redballoon.work.
All right, Mike Pence just got booed. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. So Mike Pence up being interviewed by Tucker Carlson at this Iowa forum. And, you know, there's a question I have that I would love for someone to ask these presidential candidates here is where, you know, Biden is sending military reservists to defend Ukraine's border. Why aren't we sending them to defend ours? Why is it that our border has to be open and porous? All right, 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number on this open line Friday. Want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have a very special guest with us. She is the Secretary of the South Dakota Department of Health, and there is a serious issue that we've got to talk about, and this is impacting the entire nation. Melissa Magstadt joins us. Madam Secretary, welcome to the program.
Good to be here today. Thank you for bringing up this topic. I much appreciate your time talk about this. You're right, it's critical.
Yeah, the concern here is that there are shortages in the pharmaceutical industry, meaning a lot of people in America may not be able to get the drugs they need to be able to survive, to be able to live. And I know that you folks in South Dakota are very much aware of this, and I'm really intrigued with how you guys are responding to the shortage.
Well, you know, and I think to your point, most Americans think that if they go to get a prescription, they go to their pharmacy, they'll be able to easily get it filled. And that is not true. We saw more shortages in our medications for even respiratory illness, but it goes all the way up to even our cancer drugs. And this has been basically a massive failure on the part of our federal government to protect the pharmaceutical drug supply chain. And in South Dakota, we're going to do our part to try and shore up what we need to do to address the short game of having some an emergency cash for some critical medications in our state. But the next level is our federal government needs to address this, and they need to address it quickly.
Well, I'm just and again, your governor, Governor Kristi Noem, has really just done a terrific job and has been a national leader in South Dakota. You folks, even especially during the China virus crisis, you guys were leading the way here. And I'm curious, and I want to get to the stockpiles in just a moment, but I'm curious, how long have we been dealing with this drug shortage, and is it getting worse?
All right, so we saw this. This started about 10, 15 years ago, but it has exponentially grown in the last few years. Because even at 10 to 15 years ago, when we started having sporadic drug shortages here and there, we had more of a diversified supply chain, and now that supply chain is dialed into basically two countries. Number one, the raw materials come from China, who's never been a friend of the United States, and number two, India. The finished products come through there. And even if, you know, India might be a friendly country to us, but guess what? That one national catastrophe then puts us at risk even when our finished products come from India. But all the raw materials come from our friends, the Chinese.
I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. I've just always been of the opinion that we should be as self-sufficient as possible as a nation. Is that wrong of me to think that way?
You know, I think, and to your point, anything that threatens the security of the United States, the food supply, the energy supply, and I'm going to put up there the pharmaceutical drug supply. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And handing it off to certainly a country that on their best day is not a friend of the United States, but on their worst day systematically seeks to undermine and become the United States of China.
So, Madam Secretary, you have recognized this problem, and I think the administration's come up with a brilliant solution here. And you folks in South Dakota are creating drug stockpiles. So how does that work?
Well, you know, and the drug emergency stockpile came out of, and I'm sure you're old enough to remember, because I remember those years when anthrax was a scare. And at that period of time, we started stockpiling emergency medications to battle anthrax. Well, that threat shifted now. The shift now is this disruption in the pharmaceutical drug supply chain. So we looked at medications to do the greatest amount of good for the greatest amount of people. So we looked at our antibiotic supply chain, but we also looked at our medications that help patients in emergency situation with breathing. And so we are adding to our old emergency cash that we use for anthrax and expanding that out to diversify our medications that are in that, and also put them in more key areas across our state.
I think this is it's a great idea. And again, this goes back to an issue that happened, what, last winter, when pharmacies were really dealing with shortages there in South Dakota of things like, you know, children's Tylenol and Motrin, among other things.
The simplest of medications. We couldn't get amoxicillin for 4 months for our littlest persons needing that medication. And it's going to happen again this respiratory season, because as predictable as winter is going to come to South Dakota, so will respiratory season.
So it's funny you mentioned this. I had to travel. I was giving a speech in North Carolina a few days ago. And, the food was great. Got a little indigestion. So I'm at the airport, and I stopped by the store. I'm going to get a little antacid tablet. Not a single antacid tablet anywhere in the entire airport, you know, and you're just like, oh, goodness gracious.
Well, and you kind of look at that, and I wonder if the American people, when they go, they look back and go, yeah, when I went there, I couldn't find that either. And now put the pieces together as to why you couldn't find it.
That's it. I'm sitting here hearing you speak, and I'm like, well, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
All
now
right.
Now you look back in time and think, oh, wow, I know why that happened. Absolutely.
All right. So my next layover will be in South Dakota, just in case, you know, because
well,
you'll have plenty. Yeah, I love it. Well, Madam Secretary, really appreciate this. Is really important information. And I do remember just a couple of years ago when we were dealing with these same shortages nationwide. And I think a lot of people were stunned to realize that a lot of their drugs were coming from China. And I think that was an eye-opening thing. And that hasn't been resolved yet.
No. The transparency, I don't think the American people in general understand that the majority, almost 80% of our stuff, our generic drug supply, comes from China. And I think if the American people realize that, they would be unsettled and not being able to sleep well at night.
All right.
As they should be.
Well, Madam Secretary, we appreciate you spending some time with our national audience, and great work. We appreciate that.
Appreciate your time. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
All right. There you go, folks. Melissa Magstadt, who is the Secretary of the Health Department there in South Dakota, rather. And Governor Kristi Noem has been leading the charge. Her administration, she has done an amazing job. And again, a lot of this goes to the appointments, the people that you surround yourself with. And she just does a remarkable job of getting the right people for the job in place. So good for the governor. And I think we're going to have her on the program next week. But again, a very serious thing. And when I, honest to goodness, it was the Memphis International Airport, by the way, and I couldn't find a single antacid tablet. And then it was the same thing at the Greensboro Airport. I think they call that the triad. All right, before we go to break here, I want to go to Hartford, Connecticut. Bill has been holding on for a while. Bill, appreciate you doing that. What's on your mind today?
Not a problem. Great show today, Todd.
Thank you.
Pretty soon all there will be to watch is stuff like this if the Hollywood strike goes on much longer.
Well, let me say this, Bill. We don't use writers on this program, so I'm it. So unlike a lot of those primetime guys.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I saw this coming a long time ago, and I hate to be that guy, but to me, it was obvious that the streaming services, they would lead to the oversaturation and the low pay. So I think the public is a bit to blame for this strike, just for how much we love streams. And I know one friend who loves streams so much that he drinks the yellow ones, and his name is Todd.
Oh, I see. You know, Bill, don't hang up just yet. I'm just curious, Bill, why do you guys do that? Why do you like to do that? I mean, you lie to our staff here to come on the radio program, and is that fun for you?
I just want to let everyone know you like drinking tea, that's all.
All right, Bill, Bill, this is very—it's really sad of you, Bill. And I mean, do you live with your mother still? Is that the problem? Have you not been able to find a wife? Have you not been able to get out there and enjoy and live life, get a job, and be a productive member of society? Is that the problem?
No.
All right, there you go, Bill. Bill's one of these guys, and I don't know. We get these calls, and I think most of them work for Media Matters or some of these liberal groups, and they like to come on and they play along, and then they go off and do crank call stuff. I just don't get it. I really, and it's sad. You know, a lot of them normally end up on America's Most Wanted, usually for, you know, sex crimes. I'm not saying that's Bill, but I'm just saying that by and large. All right, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And let me say this before we go back to the phones here. Let me say this. If you disagree with something I say, you call and you will get on the air. But I don't like people like Bill from Connecticut, who, if that's even his real name and if that's even where he lives, but I don't like people calling in and lying to my staff. That's unacceptable. You know, be a man. Be a man. That's all. All right. Let's go to Larry in Georgia. Hi, Larry. What's on your mind?
Hey there, Todd. How are you, buddy?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Larry.
Good. And I appreciate your show and appreciate the lady that was on there from North Dakota. And that's previous guy. I tell you what, I'm like you. They're liars and deceivers. I don't like liars and deceivers either. But, you know, talking about the drug situation, it's more than drugs. How in the world did we allow this to happen? Whether China's doing all this production, I think it begun, Todd, back 20, 30 years, when it, or maybe longer than that, all this NAFTA junk that was forced down our throat. We were lied to like crazy. We lost many, many jobs. And now look where we're at.
I mean, yeah, look, this is a great point, and that's why this is, Larry, it's not a Democrat issue. It's both political parties.
It is.
They're responsible for this.
It all begun when this NAFTA stuff started coming on, and it lied us like crazy. We need this. It'll help our country. No, it didn't help our country. It hurt our country. And how in the world did we allow Congress to do all this? And 80% of our medicines being produced in China? We, the American people, didn't realize that. Something's got to give, my friend.
It does, and that's why we've got to have America First candidates elected, Larry, so that we can bring everything back here. And look, a lot of these Republicans are getting money from the Chamber of Commerce, and they're leading this charge here. They're protecting big business. They're lining the pockets of big business. And at the end of the day, the Republican Party was not meant to be a party of the people, right? It has become that, thanks in large part to Ronald Reagan, but then especially Donald Trump. And I think a lot of the base of the party are going to demand change. And to your point, we're in a very dangerous spot, Larry, when we are relying on the basic necessities we need to survive, and we're relying on our enemies for that. That's not a good place to be. Larry, got to run. Appreciate that call. All right, open line Friday, 844-747-8868. That's our number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, some fascinating back and forth between Tucker Carlson and the vice president. Dylan, do we have that ready yet? The Mike Pence? All right, so this is Tucker Carlson, and the question is about religious liberty in Ukraine. Now, Mike Pence is defending Ukraine, and Volodymyr Zelensky has been cracking down and persecuting Christians, and Tucker says, what the heck? Take a listen.
Would you, may I ask, would you be, and I believe you have a good faith position on this, and we have disagreements on it, but I want to just, I can't let you elide over the question of the treatment of Christians. And
I know, I heard
and
that
would
again,
you be,
Tucker.
Well, no, but hold on, would you, no, you, would you
problem
be
problem is
willing?
You don't accept my answer. I just told you that I asked the religious leader in Kiev if it was happening. You asked me if I raised the issue, and I did.
And I'm saying
I also raised it
incorrect.
With the Ukrainians, and I was told that there are there are religious leaders who have been working with the Russian military that is murdering people by the thousands.
Okay.
I mean, Tucker, look.
Wait, but hold on. Don't you think...
Let me explain to you what I think our national interest is there.
I would think you would have greater concern for religious liberty in Ukraine. And I'm surprised by
your... I told you I raised the issue of religious liberty.
No, you spoke to one person who's clearly on one side of it. And there are many, many news reports that are not disputed by anybody that many clergy have been arrested in Ukraine. And I'm merely saying I may not agree with their views. I'm not Russian Orthodox. But you can't arrest clergy for having different views, period. Because if you do, you violate the basic tenet of religious liberty.
Look, I want to be clear with you. I won't stand by it. I won't stand for it. If people are being persecuted for their religious beliefs, I won't stand for it. In any country with which a country of our nation is supporting or our allies are supporting.
Yes.
Period. Paragraph.
Wow. You know, Pence is like, why in the world did I agree to do this? Who thought this was a good idea on the campaign? You're fired. But it was a pretty simple, this was a softball question here. And Pence could have, I don't think Pence knew how to answer that question. Because Pence is basically turning a blind eye to the persecution of Christians to support Zelensky and Ukraine. I mean, that's what's going on here. All right, let's go to the phones. We're going to have more of that audio coming up in the next hour. Let's go to Steve in Arkansas, wants to weigh in on the pharmaceutical problem. Hi, Steve, what you got?
Hey, Todd, listening to you and the lady from South Carolina talk. South Dakota, I'm sorry. This may be a blessing in disguise. If it forces people or scares them into eating better, getting more exercise and taking care of their self naturally, the way your body was designed to work and everything, you may actually see an improvement in the health of the country.
Well, that's a fair point. But, Steve, one of the drugs in particular is one that I have to take. I have a mechanical aortic heart valve, and so I have to take a blood thinner. And I'll have to take that for the rest of my life. And there was actually a shortage of that particular medicine several years ago. And anybody who has to take that blood thinner immediately becomes at risk for a stroke. So there is some medicine out there that is a necessity for people to live.
Oh, I agree with that. I was talking about general overall, just statistical numbers.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Another quick thing to think about. Isn't that a national security issue? If you have your enemy making 80% of your pharmaceuticals.
So, Steve,
they don't need a military. They just poison us all.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Look, Trump was trying to point this out and going back to the shortages that were happening. And Trump said, hey, folks, all of the ingredients you need to make these medicines, most of them are coming from China. That is a very dangerous proposition right there. And we've got to get it fixed.
Yeah, COVID's proven very well how concerned they are about our health.
Exactly. And I still believe, and at least no one will be able to prove otherwise for me, but I believe that was a deliberate attack on the American people. They wanted to, it was just like going to war. They unleashed a chemical weapon, a chemical agent on us, which was that COVID virus. That's what I think happened. Steve, got to run. Appreciate that call. All right, open line Friday. We're going to your calls, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This event in Iowa is turning into a big rowdy now. Who knew Mike Pence had it in him? Hello, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. So happy to have you with us on this open line Friday, and we've got a lot of people wanting to, as a matter of fact, we have full lines right now. So hang tight, keep dialing, and we're going to get to your calls in just a moment. Mike Pence being interviewed by Tucker Carlson. This is happening in Iowa, and all the candidates are sitting down. And God love him. I tell you what, Tucker Carlson is not letting any of these guys get away with anything. Cut number 24.
Now, let me take a break here. I know we disagree on this strongly, but I respect your right to your opinion on Ukraine, and I trust you'll respect mine. I've been to Ukraine now twice.
So he's all about, you got to go to Ukraine, as if that somehow makes you an expert. All right, come on. Cut number 22. I know, cut 22.
Would you, may I ask, would you be, and I believe you have a good faith position on this, and we have disagreements on it, but I want to just, I can't let you elide over the question of the treatment of Christians. And
I know, I heard
and
that
would
again,
you be,
Tucker.
Well, no, but hold on, would you, be, would you
be willing?
The problem
is you don't accept my answer. I just told you that I asked the religious leader in Kiev if it was happening. You asked me if I raised the issue, and I did.
And I'm saying
I also raised it
incorrect.
With the Ukrainians, and I was told that there are religious leaders who have been working with the Russian military that is murdering people by the thousands.
Okay.
I mean, Tucker, look.
Wait, but hold on. Don't you think...
Let me explain to you what I think our national interest is there.
I would think you would have greater concern for religious liberty in Ukraine. And I'm surprised
by
your...
I told you I raised the issue of religious liberty.
No, you spoke to one person who's clearly on one side of it. And there are many, many news reports that are not disputed by anybody that many clergy have been arrested in Ukraine. And I'm merely saying I may not agree with their views. I'm not Russian Orthodox. But you can't arrest clergy for having different views, period. Because if you do, you violate the basic tenet of religious liberty.
Look, I want to be clear with you. I won't stand by it. I won't stand for it. If people are being persecuted for their religious beliefs, I won't stand for it. In any country with which a country of our nation is supporting or our allies are supporting.
Yes.
Period. Paragraph.
Okay. So then this just dropped, and I'll read this quick quote, and we're going to go to our next guest. Tucker pointed out to Mike Pence, every city in the United States has become much worse in the last 3 years. The economy downgraded, suicide rate, public filth, crime. Where's the concern for the United States? Why are we so focused on Ukraine? And Mike Pence said, and I kid you not, that's not my concern. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Congressman Andy Biggs from the great state of Arizona. Congressman, I appreciate Tucker asking the tough questions of these candidates.
Yeah, you know, Todd, I know people think those are tough questions, but they shouldn't be tough questions, especially for anybody that's working at the national level like me in Congress or like someone who's running for the United States presidency. I think you need to be clear in your position and iterate that position. I don't think these are hard questions. I think they're important questions that sometimes people feel uncomfortable answering. But the deal is of somebody who's running to gain the public trust needs to be clear, transparent, and honest.
I think Tucker asked the question on everyone's mind, you know, why are we so concerned about sending more troops? We're sending 3,000, according to the Biden administration last night, 3,000 more American troops. We're getting closer to a war with Russia. We are more concerned about spending hundreds of billions of dollars defending and protecting Ukraine's border while American citizens are being killed by the millions, by the drugs coming across and the illegal aliens coming across our southern border.
Yeah, that is an absolutely fair question. And it's one of the reasons that I couldn't support today's bill. I mean, they're giving more money to Ukraine in this national defense bill. And why? I said, why are you doing that? Especially on a day that they announced they're sending 3,000, calling up 3,000 reservists to go over to Europe, ostensibly in the Ukraine theater. And then I live in a state where you can go for miles where the Border Patrol can't even be out and staff it because they're having to process thousands and thousands of people who are illegally entering our country. So it just does not make sense to me that we care more about the Ukraine, the folks of Ukraine. I get it. They were wrongfully, illegally, criminally, whatever, invaded by Russia. I get it. But you know what? We are being invaded. We have an invasion that involves child sex trafficking, fentanyl that's killing people. You've got terrorists, international terrorists coming across the border. You have hundreds and hundreds of criminal gang members, and you have people who are dangerous with records, criminals. They may not be gang members, but they're criminals coming from other countries. That's not to say everybody is, but it's to say a significant number are, and we're leaving our border porous.
We are. And again, I think the next president of the United States is going to have to be someone who makes that the priority and not Ukraine. And I think the American people are starting to see through all of this. Congressman, I want to move on. Of course, that's the breaking news of the hour. But there's so much more to talk about. My concern, and maybe you can help alleviate my concern here, is that these hearings that the Republicans hold are jaw-dropping. They're disgusting and sickening, the information we glean from them. Yet at the end of the day, really nothing ever happens. And in a way, it's almost a big nothing burger. I'm wondering, is there anything good that can come out of all of these hearings?
Yeah, well, first of all, I agree with the frustration. But I think the first step we have to do is there's still the majority of the country that have never even heard of all these things that are going on. So we got to let them know. So that's why we do these hearings and hold them out and oversee these agencies. The second thing is we have got to start using the tools we have, and that requires Republican leadership to get on board with things like the Holman Rule, where you go after Christopher Wray and say, look, you know, what you've done is, you know, you cannot continue to serve. We're going to remove you from office. We're going to reorganize the entire upper echelon of the FBI. You got to do the second thing where you're trying to get at the funding for various projects that they have, like their brand new, bigger than the Pentagon, Taj Mahal headquarters that's going to cost $8 to $10 billion. You say, no, you're not doing that. We got to clean you up. And then you have to use the appropriation process to say, look, we're going to go through your agency line by line, item by item, and where we can, we're going to have to dock you or give money elsewhere. And then and people like some of the this U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C., Congress has got to take away jurisdiction and place jurisdictional limits on just some of the courts, as well as on some of these attorneys general who are abusing the American public by going after conservative political protesters. And on the other hand, they're letting violent criminals walk out the door.
Congressman, another big issue, you've got the NDAA, and that's the military funding bill. And God love you guys for standing up and doing the right thing, adding amendments that would stop taxpayer money being used on these gender mutilation surgeries, among other things. This goes now to the Senate. What happens if the Senate comes back and says, no, we don't want any of that in there?
Well, they're going to do that. I have to give you full disclosure. I voted no on that bill, and part of it is because you can do the kabuki theater all you want, but until you actually start using the leverage points, which again is money, and instead of saying the Department of Defense has failed audits for 30 years, Todd. A recent study said they can't find 61% of their assets. And instead of holding them accountable for that, plus the wokeism in the military, Congress, the House, just voted to give them an additional $30 billion, of which some of that is going to go over to Ukraine. I don't understand why we couldn't have actually held them accountable and done the wokeism stuff. And people told me, well, Andy, this is the best bill Republicans could have done. And I said, how about holding them accountable? Take care of the wokeism stuff, but hold them accountable for losing 61% of their assets. How about holding them accountable for never being able to pass an audit, which they've never been able to do? How about doing some of that stuff? And people just told me, this is the best we can do. And it is so dang frustrating because, Todd, you're right. the Senate's going to get there and come back. And I'm told, oh, but we're going to be tough next time. And I said, this is the blue pill, man. That's where you keep believing the same, doing the same thing is going to give you a different result.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen.
So my concern is it'll come back because it'll have to come back. If they make any changes, it has to come back to the House. Is that right?
That's right.
So it has to come back. And at that point, the question is, will it pass?
Well, I believe that this is ultimately going to be a Republican-Democrat bill because mm-hmm. they will not be able to get it out because conservatives in the House will say, well, okay, now you've stripped out our social conservative point of view from, and you've allowed the military to continue on its woke course, so we can't vote for it. But there's just so much going on with the NDAA, a 1,500-page bill that nobody was able to read on top of it.
That is a problem in and of itself. On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, our good friend Congressman Andy Biggs. Congressman, one more question. You know, we look at the border and all of the things happening there. There have been reports of China sending over lots of their people, a lot of Chinese people coming across that border. Do we have any indication who those people are and what they're doing in the country?
No, we don't. I'm just going to give you a straight answer. We don't have the capacity to vet. We don't have the resources to vet. So when somebody comes in from China, let's say, and a lot of them throw away their ID anyway, so you have no idea really where they're coming from. But you can surmise that if they're speaking Mandarin, they're coming from China probably. But they're coming across. We don't have any records to vet them with. We can run, if they're on Interpol, we might be able to find them. But this administration rarely does DNA testing anymore. So you're going to get fingerprints, but not a lot more than that in your records. And it's we really don't know. I mean, that's a long way of saying we don't know who they are, we don't know where they're coming from, and we don't really know what their intention is.
All right. Congressman, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate you coming on, a lot of information, and we appreciate your great insight.
Absolutely. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Congressman Andy Biggs, there you go. Folks, we got a lot happening. Got to take a quick break here, and then we're going to the phones for the rest of this, for the rest of the hour. The phones. 844-747-8868 is our number. Folks, exciting news. President Trump is fighting back, and he is urging you to get a copy of the new best-selling book. It's called The Final Battle. David Horowitz, the author. President Trump says America faces a final battle in the coming 2024 election. This book is the best expose on the far left's attempts to end democracy. In The Final Battle, David Horowitz warns of a deep state effort to stop Trump. He names names, including billionaire players like George Soros, working behind the scenes to change America forever. Now, President Trump says you got to get a copy of The Final Battle before the next election because it may be the last. Mike Huckabee says every Christian in America needs to prepare by getting this book. It's in bookstores everywhere, already an Amazon bestseller, and you can check out the free offer from Newsmax and save almost $30. Go to the website, finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com, and get yourself a copy today. All right, let's go to the phones. Robert in North Carolina. Hi, Robert. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on the candidates that we have out in the field right now. I would vote for the worst qualified or least qualified Republican over the best that the Democrats can put up any day. Right now I'm thinking, you know, obviously Trump is way out front, probably going to be the candidate unless something major happens. What I would love to see, I would have liked to see Mike Pompeo get into the race, but since he declined to get into the presidential race, what would make a perfect team would be Trump and Pompeo, because they've already worked together. Pompeo is very, very qualified, very credentialed. And if anything were to happen to Trump and he took over, he would be a good president also.
I like Pompeo. I think he'd do a terrific job. If he had to assume the presidency, I think he would be a fine president. I don't think it's going to be DeSantis, and I don't think it should be DeSantis. I think he's still got a little bit more growing and maturing to do as a politician and as an American.
Yeah, I think he maybe needs a little more upper level training before he considers presidency.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's good. He's been a great governor, but anyhow,
yeah.
If you haven't read Mike Pompeo's book, Don't Give an Inch, it's very good, and it lays out all the qualifications he has. He's been military, he's been Secretary of State, Congressman, I think. You know, he has all the credentials you could ask for, and he has worked with Trump in the past.
All right, Robert, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Mark in the Villages. Hi, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I was hoping Trump would be at that forum with Tucker. Those two together would have been pretty made for good TV. Did you hear about the new gun control bill they're trying to pass in Massachusetts? Now, I agree on a few of the things. Selling guns to someone under 21, stop and search, and semi-automatic shotguns and rifles. But to make it where you can't protect yourself, well, that's a problem. Like saying registering all guns so they can't basically take your guns possible, so that they can take your guns possibly one day. Banning people the age of 18 from possessing mace or pepper spray and adding stun guns under the definition of firearms. So that means, you know, if you got a high school girl, she's 18, 17, 16, she can't protect herself now. And this gives a green light to the thieves. This is nuts. Just common sense laws. It's that simple. Todd, when you and I were growing up, did you ever have to worry about looking over your back to see if possibly a mass shooter could be behind you or behind us? I have friends from Columbia that say they've never heard of mass shootings unless it was possibly tied with drug cartels.
Yeah.
And when you commit crimes over there, you pay a price, unlike
all right.
the U.S.
Mark, got to leave it there, my friend. We're up against a hard break. I will up the Massachusetts law. Republicans in Memphis, Tennessee, actually want to take away your guns, and they say the Bill of Rights is not something divine or ordained by God. That's how they're defending it. I'll tell you more about it later. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Open Line Friday. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So I want to go back to something Tucker Carlson asked Tim Scott. I believe this is Cut 17 when he's talking about Mexico. And why is Mexico less of a threat than Russia? This is the question of the hour.
Well, so here's, I'm just interested because all measures are relative. So Russia's bad, Russia's a threat, Putin's evil, got it. But the total body count from Russia in the United States is right around zero. Like, I don't know anyone who's been killed by Russia. I know people personally who've been killed by Mexico. The government of Mexico allows fentanyl to be made in its country and to come over our border.
Yes.
And remittances from Mexico are a huge part of their economy. The Mexican government is party to the murder of hundreds of thousands of Americans. So why is Mexico less of a threat than Russia?
Well, two things. I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time.
Okay, but
yeah, and frankly, here's
no Americans killed by Russia,
yeah.
Hundreds of thousands killed by Mexico, but Mexico's our ally and Russia's our enemy. How does that work?
Well, I'm not going to pretend like the legislation I have sponsored and I would sign as President of the United States freezes the assets of the Mexican cartels, targets the Mexican cartels, and hopefully eliminates the flow of fentanyl. Because I do agree with you that 70,000 Americans losing their lives on an annual basis is an existential threat to America that we can solve. We don't have to choose the good news.
Would you be willing
that.
To say to the Mexican government, your economy runs on factories right over the border, car plants, for example, but many other manufacturing plants, and we're just going to slap tariffs on that and tank your economy, like tomorrow? Unless you stop allowing poison to come into our country. Like, why not do that?
I say, He used every tool available to stop fentanyl from coming across our border. No exceptions.
Interesting.
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, these people are in charge. Tim Scott's in the United States Senate. So far, I have seen so many people disqualify themselves from being anywhere near the Oval Office in this Iowa event. All right, let's go to the phones here. Open line Friday, 844-747-8868. Patty in North Carolina. Hi, Patty. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well.
Listen, I was going to talk about Michael Obama. I'm sorry, Michelle Obama. But I could ask you a question here. I really believe Tucker Carlson, man, he is smart as a whip.
Yeah.
I love this guy. I think that he should run, with God's help, I think he should run with Trump.
Who, Tucker?
Yeah.
I don't know about that, Patty. I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I don't think any of us really understand what Tucker actually believes. Look, don't get me wrong. He's doing a great job interviewing these candidates. But I'm not quite sure any of us really understand where he stands on a lot of the significant issues of the day.
Well, you know, he had Mike Pence, like, stumped. Like, Mike Pence is like, what's going on? Mike Pence was like, you're right what you said before. Mike Pence is like, why am I sitting in his chair? I mean, Tucker, I mean, he's right about the border. He's right about we're having an invasion on our country, and we're sending troops to Ukraine.
It's true. I mean, what happened to Mike Pence? He went through political mutilation surgery in front of God and country today. That's what happened in Iowa.
Yeah, so you don't think Tucker would even stand? I mean, I don't know. When I was listening to him, I was like thinking, Tucker is really, I mean, tough with the questions. Even Tim Scott, you know, even he had Tim Scott stumped.
Indeed. Oh, Patty. All right, we're going to leave it there. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Evelyn in Ohio. Hi, Evelyn. What do you want to talk about today?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having Tucker on. That's wonderful. And then I wanted to talk about abortion. Those of us who believe that abortion is wrong are called pro-life. But the pro-choice people aren't called pro-death. And I think we need to do that.
I don't have a problem with that, Evelyn. You know, we've directed our staff and our journalists here when they're covering those stories not to use the phrase anti-abortion unless they're using the term anti-choice. Because the choice ultimately comes down to life or death. That's the choice.
It is, and I wanted many listeners to realize it, that they're pro-death, they're not pro-choice.
Evelyn in Ohio, I think that's a great idea. Thank you for that call. Let's go to Rebecca in Maine, WLOB, our great affiliate there. Hi, Rebecca, what's up?
Good afternoon, Mr. Starnes. My comment is we're not just a one and done. I see so many people out there saying, well, I did this, you know, I've done my work. We are doing this. This fight is until the day we take our last breath. And the lady, the nice lady who made the comment about Tucker Carlson, everybody has their role in life, and Tucker's is to put people on the spot and, you know, force them to say things that they would like to hide or they would like to get, you know, not have be out there. That's just my point about Tucker. But one of the things that we're just going to have to remember really strongly, no matter who wins this, you know, this presidential primary, the person that wins it, if we don't get behind him, because I think it will be a him, we are going to lose. We're just going to lose. Everyone has to get behind whoever the candidate ends up being, no matter how you feel viscerally about them or politically about them, because we will lose if we don't.
Rebecca, it's a great point. And my concern is Trump is the nominee. I don't think that the establishment wing of the party is going to accept that.
I actually agree with you. And they're going and the people out there are going to have to come to have their come to their, if you will, their come to Jesus moment that if they don't, we're going to be in
for another round of let's sniff a deal.
Yeah, let's sniff a deal. Yeah, well, very, very well said. All right, Rebecca, appreciate the call, and thank you for that. All right, have you heard about this one? Disney is doing a live-action remake of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Are we allowed to say dwarfs? I can't remember. Is it little people? I don't know. I need a list. I need a running list of words we're allowed to say and not say on the radio. No, not midgets. We definitely can't say midgets. But I think we can say dwarfs. Anyway, Disney is doing a live-action remake, and the producer of this film is completely full-blown a progressive woke. And she wants to make this some sort of a political statement film. So they've gotten rid of all of the dwarfs except for one, and that's the token dwarf. So the rest of the dwarfs have been booted, and now they have a very diverse group of full-sized people. And these people are, you know, I don't know, gay, lesbian, it's all over the place. So the Daily Mail reports that the dwarves have been replaced with these magical creatures to avoid reinforcing stereotypes of little people. Now, Peter Dinklage, you might remember that name. He's the little person from Game of Thrones, and he's very upset about all of this. And he's the one, as a matter of fact, he is responsible for them forcing all of these changes, because he says that it makes no sense that you have all of these dwarfs living in a cave together. Well, yes, Mr. Dinklage, because it's a fairy tale. It's not reality, sir. Anyway, long story short, no pun intended, no dwarfs in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Also, there is no fair-skinned German princess, so no Snow White. It's more like No, I can't say that, can I? I can't say that. I almost said it, but I can't say it. You can't say it, but they've replaced the fair-skinned German princess with a Colombian-American princess, so a Latina. So you can't have any Snow White. No, I can't say Snow Brown, because that would be inappropriate, Dylan. I can't say that. Anyway, also, no Prince Charming. What? I'm shocked by this. I assume, because, of course, Snow White being a woman, we presume, has to be self-sufficient. She can't rely on the kiss of a man. She can't be saved from eternal death by the kiss of a man. And I'm surprised by this, because I kind of figured that they would go after, I don't know, Dylan Mulvaney as a non-binary genderqueer prince. And then they could have some lesbian action going on for the sake of diversity and whatever. I don't know. Anyway, all that to say, are you going to send your kids? Are you going to let your kids go watch? This is a Disney film. And they've lost, what, $900 million so far. People are just, they're running away. There's a report out earlier this week. Nobody's going to Disney World. Nobody's going to Disneyland. They're reporting that the parks are virtually empty. Now, I suspect that's because it costs an arm and a leg, and you're going to have to, I don't know, sell a child to, like, the orphanage to be able to pay for tickets. It's so expensive. But I think a lot of people have said, that's it, we're done here. I don't want my money funding this garbage. And they're about to, folks, I'm telling you, Disney is teetering. And all that to say, the Brothers Grimm, you know, they actually wrote these fairy tales, the Brothers Grimm. Had they known what was in store for Snow White, they would have eaten the poison apple. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show. By the way, if you haven't already done so, you need to check out toddstearns.com. That's our landing page. We have all sorts of great, great information there. Also, our free podcast, which you can download. Would love for you to do that and follow us on all the social media platforms. You know, folks, eating healthy and fresh, it's tough, and it can be expensive. And if you're like me, it's just hard to find, you know, time to go to the grocery store and prepare all the fruits and the veggies and all that kind of stuff all the time. So that's why I have fallen in love with Balance of Nature. You know, I was just out of town and I loaded up my Balance of Nature and took it when I was on the road, fruits and veggies in a capsule. Don't have to go grocery shopping. Don't have to throw out all the produce that goes bad by the time I want to go ahead and eat an apple. So, I mean, seriously, how many times have you done that? You buy all this produce and then you have to throw it out a week later. So that's why I love Balance of Nature. 31 whole fruits and veggies. Take it every day. Fraction of the cost I get from buying them at a grocery store. And I can tell you, since I've started taking Balance of Nature, definitely had a boost in energy. So you got to order it, folks. Check it out. You're going to get 35% off your first order as a preferred customer by using the discount code Todd. Go to balanceofnature.com. That's balanceofnature.com. Or you can give them a call, 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com. Shipping, by the way, always free. Be sure to use that discount code Todd. All right, let's go to the phones. Wallace in Georgia wants to talk about the devil's lettuce. All right, Wallace, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, great show. Really appreciate what you do.
Thank you.
If we want to get to the bottom of this cocaine mystery, so-called, all we got to do is hair analysis on everybody that's been in that building for the last week or two, and the cocaine stays in your hair for, I don't know, a couple of months, I understand, so I think that would be the thing to do, but the chance of that happening are you know how much.
Yeah, look, they didn't drug test. They said they investigated. Wallace, they didn't investigate anything.
Yeah, so you're right, and they ain't gonna. But if I can end your show with something, hopefully that might get us to smile a bit, which we need. Faith, fam, and fun. If you're Christian or you're Jew, they'll be coming to take you to the gulag. If you protest, if you stand in protest, you'll be subject to arrest and end up in the gulag. And there's Hunter and Joe with their mystery bag of blow in the White House.
It sounded like the theme song to Petticoat Junction, Wallace.
You got that right. I'm old enough, and you are too, to remember that.
All right. Well, thank you very much. You should try out for, I don't know, America's Got Talent or something. Appreciate that call. Thank you. There you go, Wallace in Georgia, entertaining us, serenading us with an original presentation today. By the way, this audio from a preschool teacher at Columbia University. They do one of these on-site preschools for the children, and this teacher identifies as non-binary, and so she did a video, and she actually presents this to the children. And the whole point of this is to promote Non-Binary Awareness Week. Did you know that's what this was this week, Non-Binary Awareness Week? And she used a Muppet, like from, you know, The Muppet Show, to promote Non-Binary Awareness Week, cut 15.
Hi, everyone. Hi, everyone. I'm Leslie, and my pronouns are they, them.
And I'm Ray. My pronouns are also they, them.
And what are we celebrating this week, Ray?
It is Non-Binary Awareness Week.
And what does that mean?
Well, that means if you don't feel like a boy in your heart, or a girl in your heart, or if you feel like neither, or both, you are seen, you are loved, and you are supported no matter what.
That's right. We love you for who you are, no matter what you might look like on the outside.
We know who you are on the inside.
And to all of our friends who might not be non-binary, how can we help them support our non-binary friends?
Well, you can always make sure you're using the right pronouns because you want to respect your friends.
Well, what if somebody accidentally calls me the wrong pronoun and you're with me? What would you do?
Oh, I would simply say, oh, excuse me, I see that you said she, but Leslie goes by they. That simple.
That respectful.
That is love.
That is what being non-binary is about.
We love you.
We see you.
Mwah!
All right, there you go, people. Now, we tell you all the time that your classrooms have been weaponized, and a lot of people just don't believe that, but it's true. And this is what that weaponization looks like. So why are they doing this? It's very simple. When you're a little boy or a little girl, you know things naturally, right? Everything comes naturally because we are created by God, male and female. That's it. So if you are dealing with this feeling of, oh, you feel like a boy or you feel like a girl, that's a medical problem, and you have to get that checked out. You need to talk to professionals. They used to call that a mental disease, a mental illness, not too long ago, by the way. But now they want you to believe that is normal, and they want you to use the pronouns they and them. This is deranged thinking. And the reason, this is why they're going as young as 3 and 4 year olds now. By the way, that video was meant for 3 year olds. And the reason why is very clear. They want to confuse these children, and they want to start at a very young age. And that's why they're doing it. They know it comes naturally. They know there's no such thing as transgenderism. It's not a real thing. And that's why they want to confuse your kids. Miss Piggy is not a mister. Just understand that. All right, look, it has been a wild week. Thanks again to Steve Gill and Jeff Stein for filling in while I was on the road. So great to meet so many of our listeners out of North Carolina. We're going to be doing that again down the road. We'll be back in the saddle Monday talking about the big issues of the day. Want to thank our great team, Grace and Colin, Dylan, Josh, great folks here. Thanks again, ladies and gentlemen. Get out there, have a great Friday, and be sure to go to church this weekend.